This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Event, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here's your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to your home for everything modern day flamethrower. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. I'm your host, Scott Criscolo. Great show tonight. Got a couple different voices this evening we haven't had on in a while, and a couple of our good old standbys. We'll begin by bringing in the Can-Am connection. We're not bringing them in. We are bringing in my producer, my cohort over the last few main events. He's done a fantastic job, Mr. Jason Greenhouse. Greeny, what's going on?
What's up, Scott? Hey, just a heads up. Due to the Place to Be Nation staff shakeup, I am now going over to Brainbuster. So this is it for me, guys.
I take it. It's because you want to cut back on the cheating.
Yeah,
is that
exactly,
what it is?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, because you know how people. Poor Cesaro. Poor guy got hosed by that charlatan. Anyway, Greeny, always a pleasure, brother. We've got three guests tonight. Well, two at the moment, and a third one will probably fall through the door in a moment. First off, one of my favorite guys, looking forward to, I don't want to wish the summer, but I'm looking forward to our second season of Campus Hot Takes in the upcoming college football season, but he did a great job this year, and he did some college hoops, and that is Mr. Logan Crosland. Logan, welcome back.
What's up, guys?
It's good to have you back, brother.
Good to be here.
And also joining me this evening is a guy that, for God's sakes, I nearly have not had on as much as I'd like to. Not only did this son of a bitch go to Orlando as part of WrestleMania weekend, he was at the tailgate, but he actually recorded a podcast. Work never for the weak of heart. One half of the hard traveling fanboys, Mr. Greg Phillips.
Oh, Scotty, such a loving intro. I really appreciate you you having me on. And Greeny, it's interesting. You know, congratulations on your move in the podcaster shakeup. You know, Nick and I referenced that recently on our show as well. There's some moving and shaking going on at PTB and Pop. You know, there's a lot of behind the scenes negotiations. So I really look forward to seeing where everyone ends up. You know, people on podcasts, they don't even know anything about. You know, we could end up with, you know, I could end up on Andrew Reich's basketball podcast. You never know.
Wow, Greg on Geek and Sassy would be pretty cool.
Yes, I've actually auditioned for the role of Sassy. So.
What I'd like to see is Nick Duke in drag, which we might see later on. So,
WrestleMania's in New Orleans next year.
Oh, yeah.
There's a good chance that's going
to
happen.
Oh, I can't fucking wait. That's really all I'm looking forward to. Speaking of the other half of your dynamic duo, Mr. Duke hopefully will be joining us later on in the broadcast. All right, guys, we're, you know, detached from WrestleMania, so we can dive in now. It has been a fascinating couple of weeks in world wrestling entertainment. Of course, 2 weeks after your guys' big show down in Hotlando was the Superstar Shakeup, which was the fancy pants way of saying the draft. It sounded like something an asshole intern came up with. Let's have a Superstar Shakeup. It's not so millennial. Anyway, so they decided to do a little swapping. So we have some guys went from blue to red. Some guys went from red to blue. We actually have a match coming up on April 30th in the fuck is this show anyway? Oh, it's in San Jose. Payback at the Shark Tank on April 30th. Payback where the loser or where the winner of the match will go to a brand, and we'll talk about that in a few moments. Mr. Greenhouse, can you tell, we'll start this first part of the show talking about blue to red. Who went to Raw from SmackDown Live? Of course, since we last had our show, it was announced, of course, that Kurt Angle is the general manager of Raw, replacing the fired Mick Foley and the rehabilitating or the convalescing Stephanie McMahon, who, of course, took the table shot from Seth Rollins. Well, actually, Triple H hit his own wife by accident into the table at WrestleMania. So Kurt is now running Raw. So what guys from guys and gals from SmackDown Live, Greeny, did Mr. Angle receive?
Kurt received the package deal of Miz and Maurice, the Intercontinental Champion Dean Ambrose, Bray Wyatt, Alexa Bliss, Mickey James, Apollo Crews, Kalisto, Heath Slater and Rhino, and Kurt Hawkins.
All right, that's a decent decent bunch. Greg, what do you think of that? What surprised you? Any surprises in that bunch for you going from blue to red?
You know, I think most of them were expected, except for Bray Wyatt. I did not expect Bray to move because it felt like Bray had kind of carved out a role as one of the main players on SmackDown, and I figured SmackDown, between the two shows, was less likely to lose one of its established main eventers. So I think Bray was the big surprise out of the bunch. Everybody else kind of made sense to me, and everybody else was sort of kind of seemed like it was in the wings for a little bit, to me anyway. And so I think that the Bray one, that was surprising. It makes sense if you think about Raw as the entertainment show and SmackDown as the wrestling show. But still a little unusual with the timing, I think, with a guy that was, you know, as we'll talk about later, I'm sure, a guy that was in a world title feud moving over in the middle of that feud. But that was pretty much the only one to me that was very surprising.
Okay. Logan, what any pop at you out of that bunch that you didn't think were going to move?
Yeah, Bray Wyatt's pretty much, I agree with Greg. He's pretty much the only one that really took me off guard. He was really starting to carve his spot in on SmackDown, and I feel like he was starting to get into a groove. And I was just kind of surprised that he was one of the people that got moved.
Yeah, Miz and Maryse kind of surprised me because I feel like, and Greeny, you and I talked about this that night, a lot of people seem to think that Miz and Maryse were the benefit of better writing. SmackDown's writers really catered to them, and that's why the feud with Cena and Nikki going into WrestleMania was actually pretty awesome because they were given good, juicy stuff to chew on. Raw, the writing kind of takes a backseat to kind of pure charisma, and I don't think they're going to get as sexy, if you will, as stuff to work with on Raw. I'm kind of nervous that they're going to get hung out to dry when they were on Raw for so long, and Miz was like, Miz almost got like the X-Pac heat, like just get him out of our face. And it seemed like shortly after WrestleMania, we thought that last year when Maryse came, that suddenly he became more important. And it really had nothing to do with her per se. He was just as good. So I think the SmackDown writing really became his benefit. And I don't know if Raw will cater to his humor, if that makes any sense. What do you think? Oh, Greg, you're going to say. So who's going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to jump Greg. In and say that. You know, I feel like they. You know, to your point, the it's going to be interesting to see. I think 4 or 5 months down the line, we'll get a better idea of this because it's going to be hard for him to dig in anything. Quite frankly, to be blunt, here's a hot take: it'll be hard for him to get anything interesting at all out of Dean Ambrose right now. So
true. That is true.
I don't really feel like that's going to be a good judge of what we're going to see out of The Miz long term. Hopefully, they'll be able to carry forward his momentum. I agree with you. He really found his niche on SmackDown. But I think the reason that one didn't surprise me is I think Raw really needs somebody like The Miz, somebody that's a heel that actually wants to get heat and doesn't want to be the cool guy in the room, and also somebody that can really work the mic in a live impromptu situation, which, as much as I love a lot of the guys on Raw, they don't really have that guy right now. So I think Miz can step in there and carry segments, and it's just not going to happen against Ambrose right now because I don't know what it is about him, but right now he's in that area that a lot of people accuse Randy Orton of being in a lot, where it's just a guy that just seems to be going through the motions. So we'll see about 5-6 months down the line, maybe when Miz gets into a little bit more of a heated feud.
Yeah, it'll
go ahead, Logan.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead, Logan.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if the people who got over on SmackDown that got shipped over can stay over, and whether the writing will get behind them or not. And you know, I think Miz and Maryse will be fine, but you know. I could see Bray Wyatt, I feel like he's trending in the wrong direction, and I feel like he shouldn't be on Raw. I think he should definitely be on SmackDown. I feel like he could benefit a lot from that, but, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Let's talk about Ambrose for a minute. Why do you think he's like this? You know, Dr. G seems to think that ever since Stone Cold pretty much called him out for being a fucking schlub on the podcast. He's never been the same. Even during the run as WWE champion last year, from like, you know, what is it, June till he lost in September, he was he just didn't, he couldn't get that sizzle. Greeny, do you believe that? That since Stone Cold called him out on that podcast, what was it, in 2015, it just hasn't been the same. Like that edge is gone now.
Yeah, the timing definitely adds up with that. I mean, I don't know. He's almost turned into almost like a comedy act slash brawler, and he hasn't found his glitch on like any show he's been on. And for what Kevin Owens has done for the U.S. title, Ambrose has done the complete opposite with the IC belt. Like, the title means absolutely nothing right now, and him just carrying it around is not good. And with him and Miz going to Raw, it's like Miz was in an IC feud for most of last year, and again on a different show he's in a IC feud with pretty much the same guy. But yeah, back to Ambrose. I don't know. It's almost like they need to repackage him, but like, do what with him? He's just, I don't know. He's one guy that I haven't figured out for like the past 6 months. He's flat almost, and there's like nothing you can do with him.
I agree, because I feel like, because a lot of people early on with Ambrose thought he was like the modern day Piper. Piper held nothing except for that 2 month stretch when he was IC champ. That was more for, you know, like a trophy case thing. Plus, they wanted to make a great match for Brett at WrestleMania 8, which they ended up doing. Other than that, though, he never, I even debated it with JR when we did the Vintage Vault refresh recently for the Wrestling Classic, and I was kind of I was debating whether or not it would have been smart for Piper to beat Hogan to win the world title to lead to WrestleMania 2. And now that I think about it, probably better he didn't. Because Piper can just win everything without winning a lick of gold. Because he never seemed like the kind of guy who cared about having any belts. He just wanted to antagonize everybody. And if Ambrose, I feel, seems like the same kind of guy. Logan, do you think that Ambrose is like, I mean, maybe he was number two for a while because a lot of people figured Rollins was the dead one in dead water behind Reigns. But now, I feel like Ambrose has a belt just so trophy case-wise he kind of stays in the same ballpark as Rollins and Reigns, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah, I think definitely once Seth turned on him and Roman, I think that immediately shot Dean back to the back, because I felt like the heel turn at least made Rollins different and more, it gave him a different direction to go in. And Reigns was always going to be the number one guy out of that group because he was just handpicked from the very beginning, it seemed like. So I definitely think Ambrose has fallen back and become the third guy, and he just kind of, they kind of keep him important just because they feel like they have to. Mm.
Greg, what do you think?
Yeah, Ambrose is, if I had an answer to this, I would be a rich guy somehow, because I'd have the answers to things that can't be answered. There's no way to pinpoint what it is that changed in Ambrose from that summer of 2014 when he was so red hot. Because remember, when the Shield split, yes, they had plans for Reigns, yes, they had plans for Rollins, but they had to elevate Ambrose simply because he was so over. He was so much more over organically than Reigns was. People were invested in that Rollins and Ambrose feud throughout that summer to a degree that even while they were booking his character in such an odd way where he'd bring out mustard carts and things like that and turning him into a weird, lame comedy character, people still reacted to him. And then at some point, and I don't know if it was later that winter when he had the Wyatt feud or 15 or whatever it was, but at some point, something clicked in the wrong direction for him, and he went into cruise control. And this is what Austin was alluding to on his podcast, is that Ambrose, for all of his bluster and all of his cool guy, you know, antics, at a certain point stopped evolving. He stopped evolving his character. He stopped evolving his wardrobe. He stopped evolving his promos. And he was a guy that you could count on to come out and give you an average match with no bells or whistles. If it was a gimmick match, it would be really good. If it was a regular match, it would be fairly boring and pedestrian. And he would come out and cut the same promos every week, listless, unfunny comedy promos. And then he'd have this little glimpse of brilliance where it looked like he's really turning it on, and then it would fade away again. And I think that the one thing the brand split exposed is exactly why the company hadn't chosen him to be the guy instead of Reigns. For all the talk about how Ambrose should have been the guy, everybody online, that's all I heard about for a year on the internet was Ambrose should have been the guy. Ambrose was the guy. They gave him a chance to be the guy on SmackDown. It wasn't supposed to be AJ. And Dean could not get over as the world champion on SmackDown. And the only time we saw glimpses of it was when he would act like a heel. And I think, and I've always said this about Ambrose, John Moxley, whatever you want to call him, when he was on the indies, he's a guy who is a natural heel. He doesn't like media appearances. He doesn't like interviews. He doesn't like people very much. And he's a guy that wants to be a heel. And I think they're going to end up having, outside of a Shield reunion, the only way to redeem him right now is to have him embrace what he was in FCW, which is this arrogant, obnoxious, rebellious Roddy Piper-like heel. Because, quite frankly, right now, there are no similarities between him and Roddy Piper. It's more of a I guess if you had to compare him to Roddy Piper, it would be like 2000 WCW Roddy Piper.
Oof. That's cruel.
That's rough.
Yeah, that is.
I know. People say, a lot of my friends accuse me of disliking Dean. I don't. I watched him on the indies and really have rooted for him to succeed. I'm just frustrated by not seeing him develop the way that I thought he would develop on the main roster. And I'm hoping that he can redeem himself and show what he's capable of, because he is capable, more so than most of the guys on the roster, of being a standout promo guy. And maybe he's not given the creative freedom to do that. I don't know. But I really hope that he gets an opportunity to show that he's better than 2000 Roddy Piper, that he's closer to 85 Piper. But he hasn't shown that in years.
Right.
He definitely needs to be a douchebag heel here pretty soon.
I agree. And I wonder if the whole, you know, being married to Renee sometimes ruins that, because now he's on Total Divas. He should be a douche on that. Well, then again, every guy in that show is a douche. So he'll fit right in. But he should be like a real douche.
He fit the mold.
Yeah, exactly. He should be a douche like a real one. He should punch the Bella brother in the face. He's an idiot. Like the rest of that family. Let's talk about Alexa Bliss, because she was smoking, cooking hot in SmackDown Live.
Yes, she was.
Yes, she was.
Oh, yeah.
Greg, do you think she's going to get lost in the shuffle on Raw? What do you think? You think she's okay there?
She'll never get lost in my heart. That's all I know.
Well, sadly, you're not the only one.
True. Yeah, she's smoking. But no, but in all seriousness, I think there's – I hope not. But I think there's a chance of it, and the reason for that is that she's still learning in the ring, and not that she's bad by any means, but she's still seasoning. She's still picking up tips here and there, and granted, she's got Sasha to work with and Bayley to work with, but she's not going to have quite as many veterans in the locker room to work with, like Natty. Charlotte, even at this point, is pretty established and ingrained. So I think that there is a chance of her getting lost in the shuffle just by the basis of maybe her ring work not being able to keep up yet. But I believe that she will adjust. And the reason that I think that she can stay from getting lost in the shuffle, so to speak, is when it comes to promos in the women's division, nobody is close to her. Maybe Charlotte. Charlotte's the only other one that can cut a promo like her. She knows how to react to the crowd. She knows how to twist the crowd to what she wants them to do. She has great facial expressions. She adapts to the situation really well and seems comfortable and confident in what she's saying, which is a big problem in the women's division, is a lot of them, when they're cutting their promos, they seem so unsure of themselves and so, I guess, lost in whatever they're trying to remember, and it comes off forced and fake. Mm-hmm. Nothing about her comes off forced. So that's what helps her. The problem she's going to run into is that Sasha's about to turn, and heel Sasha is a different animal. Than we've seen in the women's division. So that's going to be her biggest challenge, is trying to remain relevant while Sasha is probably going to be going on a red-hot heel run here pretty soon. I think that she can do it because of her promo skills, but it's going to be tough.
Yeah, she and they're both very different. The way they cut promos, you know, Alexa's just kind of that snarky little twit. Sasha's going to go back to the NXT boss, which was fucking great. Mm-hmm. So, and I think it's also, I got to be honest with you, I think heel Sasha will have some longevity in her career because I don't think she'll be as insane in terms of throwing her body around like she did when she was a babyface and, you know, end up, you know, retired. So, I think you're going to see, I think it's going to elongate Sasha more when she turns heel. So I think it's more important for her to be a heel. Whereas Alexa wrestles the same either way, but like I said, she's so natural at being a great heel. So I think she'll be all right. Greeny, what do you think? Do you think Alexa can fit in with Sasha on Raw when that heel turn eventually happens?
Yeah, absolutely. And I did a column last week for Place to Be Nation about some possible shakeup moves that could happen, and Alexa was one of the ones that I chose. And I also said the one thing about Alexa is that, to me, and a lot of other people too, she's been the rookie of the year so far since the brand split happened over the summer. And mm-hmm. I agree with what Greg said as far as her not being able to work with veterans like she did on SmackDown. I think that's the reason why they put her on SmackDown. Maybe they had plans with her since the beginning, because maybe they were going to use SmackDown as a stepping stone for her, as character development, get her in the ring with people like Mickie James and Natty to kind of establish her a little bit. Her on Raw, I feel really bad for one person in the women's division, and that's Bayley. Because with Sasha flipping soon, Alexa's going to flip too. Alexa's going to be the hottest baby face in the women's division on Raw soon. She is, it's going to be the boss versus the brat, and I cannot wait. I am so into Alexa Bliss right now. She's unbelievable.
Yeah, I agree with all that. And the one thing that's going to help... The one thing that might help Bayley is I think maybe this will finally force her to get better in her glaring weaknesses, which are in the promo segments. Her interviews have been so lackluster on the main roster, and maybe this will force her to kind of evolve or die, as the old catchphrase goes. So we'll see how that turns out.
Can't wait to see all your guys' Twitter pages. Logan, what do you think of Alexa? And can she keep up with Sasha as a heel? Or, as Greeny said, do you think a babyface turn would be in the works for her?
I think she's incredibly talented, so I don't think she'll fall into the shuffle. I think she'll stay at or near the top for however long she ends up being on Raw. As far as babyface turn, I don't know if I would do that quite yet, but if Sasha gets really over as a heel, which I'm sure she will, maybe eventually, but I wouldn't rush that too quickly, because I think Alexa's just doing so good as a heel right now that I don't think I would turn her quite yet.
The rest of the superstars that went from SmackDown to Raw are pretty uneventful, you know, schlubs. Mickie James just there to help put over some of the talent. She'll be a babyface. Apollo Creep.
Apollo Snooze.
Poor bastard. He should just go back to NXT and feud with Bobby Roode, I think, because Bobby Roode's going to need some opponents. Kalisto gives a shit. Heath Slater and Rhino. I don't know. Yeah, I guess you could put him in the tag division. And Curt Hawkins is there, you know, to open challenge returning, you know, legends. Let me ask you. I'll go around the horn again. Logan, I'll start with you. Who does the switch from SmackDown Live to Raw help the most in terms of those that are still on Raw? Those that have been on Raw since the draft last year and have stayed, who does the shakeup help the most in terms of the talent coming in?
I think if they can keep Miz and Maurice hot, I think the move to Raw can be really huge for them. Because if they can stay as hot as they are, I think he could definitely be a main eventer here coming up pretty soon.
What about someone that's on Raw already and will benefit the most from these swaps?
I think Joe is in line for a pretty good push. I don't know if he necessarily matches up with any of these people, but I just feel like he's going to have a pretty hot run here coming up pretty soon.
Well, look at this. Falling through the door like Scott Hall in an episode of Nitro is the other half of the hard-traveling fanboys, Mr. Nick Duke. Nicky!
How's it going, sirs?
It's good to have you, brother. It's good to have you.
Thank you. Fantastic.
It's good to have
Nick, you. It feels like just 24 hours ago that we were talking to one another via Skype.
I know, and I hope this will be a much more positive discussion than our previous discussion on the film Batman Forever was just those 24 hours ago.
Well, there's a waste of internet, you two morons. Anyway, we're going to talk about the CW shows now.
Awesome! Like, fantastic!
Oh, well, they are on this fucking gigantic hiatus, so they'll all be back next week. But, well, three of them will. Legends ended. We'll talk more about that during the break. Nick, let me catch up. We're talking, of course, obviously Nick Duke, one half of the other half of the great hard-traveling fanboys.
The Marty, if you will.
The Marty. So you're the Heath Slater and Greg's the Rhino? Is that what it is?
No. In that, I still work the indie sometimes here in the Columbus, Georgia area, and I am currently so somed up, I might shit my pants at any moment.
That's right, because one of us may be taking a leak on the air either, so who knows. that's great. Prime rib and Soma. That's good. No wonder Louis McCulley croaked. Nick, let me
Jesus.
Let's catch up here. We were talking about the superstar swaps.
Absolutely.
We haven't gotten into. We're still right now just on blue guys going to the red brand.
Okay.
Give me your overall thoughts. Who do you think benefited the most?
On blue guys going to red, you mean?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with a little bit of an unconventional pick off the top of my head in Kalisto. And I know it's tough to say given his treatment this past Monday on Raw at the hands of one Braun Strowman, but I think Kalisto is a guy that was a natural fit for the cruiserweight division from the moment it started, and it never really made sense why they shipped him over to SmackDown. And I think now he's going to really find a niche on the Raw brand that he didn't really have on SmackDown. I mean, what? He had a couple of mid-card feuds and then kind of faded into the background. He would be the one that would instantly stand out to me. And the other, and it's kind of weird to say given that he's had such a massive run of success over on SmackDown, but to me, the thing that has always separated the two shows whenever they've done brand splits, even going back to the original brand split, is that Raw is by and large the sports entertainment show, SmackDown is the wrestling show, and The Miz, if he fits any brand, it's Raw being the sports entertainment brand, and I think it's only going to be a larger platform for that character and his pairing with Maurice and the way he's kind of reinvented himself and had something of a career rebirth over the last year. I think this is just another way for him to take it to the next level.
Do you think that, and this is a question I asked the other guys earlier,
yeah.
do you think that, now this is not knocking Miz's ability because Miz is very talented, but
right.
He did benefit from pretty damn good writing on SmackDown. Because other than Dean Ambrose, who we've already trashed for a good 10 minutes, we said that pretty much everybody benefited from SmackDown's exemplary writing. But can Raw's writing, which has historically been a little 50-50, do you think Miz could suffer? Because when Miz was a babyface regular on Raw, like even 2 years ago, everybody wanted him fucking dead, pretty much. But you know what I mean?
I think the difference is that The Miz is good enough on the mic and good enough in terms of his character that he's able to elevate, even not to an overwhelming extent, but able to elevate material that might be considered subpar. You know, he's never gonna give you the four and a half star match in the ring, and I don't think that's gonna change based on the way he's written as a character. But what I think he's gonna be able to do is overcome some of the shortcomings of the Raw writing staff better than other guys that are currently on the Raw roster.
Okay, I think that's viable. What about Dean Ambrose? We talked about him and how much of a fucking bum he is right now. Do you? I mean, pretty much we Let me ask you this. I'll give you this question that I didn't ask the other guys. Is he salvageable? Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, anybody who still maintains a certain level of popularity with the crowd is salvageable. It's not like Dean Ambrose is coming out to crickets every week. I mean, let's not... regardless of what our individual opinions within the internet wrestling community may be on Dean Ambrose, I mean, it doesn't... for some reason, the casual audience still connects to the guy. I myself still find a lot of things about Dean Ambrose very appealing. That doesn't mean that I don't believe that he's been reining in his work for the better part of 2 years, that he's gotten increasingly lazy and sloppy, but I do think there's a certain perception, even still amongst the boys, that Raw is the A brand. And I think moving Ambrose over to Raw could be something of a motivational factor for him.
I think that's a good point. I do think he will eventually drop the IC belt. Not sure to who he'll drop it, but I do think he might be better off probably without it. And here's a guy that could definitely use a refresh. What about Bray Wyatt? Do you think Bray Wyatt is in a better place now than he was on SmackDown?
I have no clue, because I really don't know what the company's vision is for Bray Wyatt. They can't make up their minds what their own vision is for Bray Wyatt. Is Bray Wyatt meant to be taken seriously, or is he a guy just who loses every major feud he's placed in? It's one of those things where they keep saying this tagline and shilling this new face of fear, new face of fear, when no one is actually afraid of him. What's the last notable major feud the guy actually won? I mean, you'd really have to go back and dig a little bit.
Ambrose,
but what is the level of Ambrose in the company right now? And Ambrose was what, 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at a guy who hasn't really... they haven't done much with him in the last couple of years other than tell you how good he is. And at a certain point, you can't tell. You have to show. And I think that's the problem with Bray Wyatt. There's no reason why he shouldn't have gone over Orton at WrestleMania. That was an opportunity to help make Bray Wyatt a little bit to the level that Randy Orton can make anyone in this day and age. And they chose to give us Randy Orton babyface champion for what feels like the 85th time in the last 10 years. And I think we're all kind of over it at this point.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see what happens. He's in this match, this Chamber of Horrors match. Maybe he'll get in an electric chair in the Thunder Cage, and the lever will flop back and forth because it's not connected to anything like it was in Halloween Havoc 91. We're just kind of wobbled around on the wall.
We're just kind of jiggle on the cage like the Dudleys did back at that TNA pay per view.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. So I think Raw is in okay shape right now. I think Kurt Angle obviously is a huge... maybe that's what it is. Let me ask you this. I've been wanting to talk about this for a while, and I'm actually... because Greeny and I talked about it a while back. Raw was not... both Raw... but pre-swap, both rosters were not terrible. What made Raw unwatchable and SmackDown watchable? The authority heads. I've been Mick Foley'd out forever, and Stephanie's just an unlikable bitch. Whereas everybody loves Shane, of course. Everybody loves... I mean, if you hate Daniel Bryan, it's like hating Santa. So I mean, you could never bitch about the roster on Raw, even pre Superstar Swap. But now a combination of the swaps and now Kurt Angle, is Raw even now? I'll start with you, Greeny. Is Raw even now with SmackDown with the swaps, or is SmackDown still a little bit ahead?
SmackDown's still ahead, I think. I'm Team Brand Blue all the way still. As far as Raw bringing in Kurt, he definitely adds a lot more entertainment to the GM role. They really couldn't get that old 2000 Commissioner Foley thing going with Mick again. He was a little too serious, and having Stephanie by his side did not help at all. Also, with him and Stephanie, they almost tried redoing like the Austin and Bischoff thing, where they were kind of neck and neck a little bit, and it just didn't work. But yeah, I mean, I think overall SmackDown definitely has the edge still.
All right, Logan, what do you think?
Yeah, I still have to get the edge of SmackDown too, but Angle definitely gives Raw a definite boost that it definitely needed to make it closer, at least. And as the longer Stephanie can stay off TV, the better off Raw will be, I think.
I don't see her coming back for a while, to be honest with
you.
I think she's going to take an extended hiatus, like as I think Triple H will as well. Greg, what is Kurt Angle? Oh, go ahead, Logan, finish.
Because I think she'll just try and emasculate Angle like she did Foley. But, I mean, I don't think Angle will let her do it as much, but I think she'll still try and do that because that's just kind of what she does.
That is kind of what she does. That's why I don't think she'll come back, because I don't think Angle would have taken the job if she thought that she was not going to be – he was not going to be Stephanie's bitch. So I think that's why he took the role, because he probably said, I'm not going to sit here and let her cut me down. I mean, I'm a Hall of Famer and she's a bitch. So, Greg, what do you think? Is SmackDown still the better show?
I think it's a little bit closer after the swap. Not necessarily even because of the actual superstars that change shows, but like you said, having Angle in the role really has breathed some life. I don't actually blame Mick for any of the issues that he had. I think he turned it up the last month. I think the problem was they chose to present Mick Foley in a way that they chose to present Kevin Nash when he returned in 2011, which is some, quite honestly, at this stage in their careers, I don't really have a lot of room for serious, sad Mick Foley or serious, angry Kevin Nash. I want comedic Kevin Nash and comedic Mick Foley that we got in 2000, and they weren't there. Luckily, with Kurt, I think what's fun is we're seeing Kurt go out there and just have fun and be a cool, lighthearted authority figure that we really haven't had on Raw ever. Raw has been nothing but heel authority figures from the late 90s on, and it's nice to have a laid-back, funny a guy that's out there, and he's not afraid to let the superstars outshine him, which Stephanie never does. So I think that has helped Raw elevate, but I think what gives SmackDown the edge until further notice is they still have the better creative team. They still have AJ Styles, who's the best in the world. They still have an exciting tag division, even though those numbers are not as plentiful, perhaps. But it's more even now. And I think the other thing we haven't talked about yet, the Hardys coming to Raw has really helped that tag team division, because that tag division was stale and dead in the water for so long, it felt like. And now it's got some life in it. We've got some fresh matchups. I think it's getting really close, and Braun Strowman's getting elevated now, and he's bringing up the value of Raw. This week was the first time in a while that I actually thought Raw was a better show than SmackDown. So we'll see if that can continue going forward, but it's getting closer. I'll put it that way.
Well, we'll get after the break. We'll get into the SmackDown swaps that came from Raw, because obviously there were a couple of major ones. Nick, what do you think of Braun Strowman right now? As Greg brought him up,
man, they have done a phenomenal job over the last 2 weeks with the Roman Reigns beatdown that was, of course, classic, and then the segments of him running through random guys on the roster on this most recent episode. I think they've done a great job of kind of reestablishing Braun Strowman, because let's not forget, they did a great job of building him for like 6 months, but then for the better part of a month there, he was treated like Roman and Taker's bitch in their ongoing feud. I mean, he was eating choke slams from Taker and spears from Roman every time he turned around, dropped a clean decision to Roman at the pre Mania pay per view. I think they had a little bit of a task in front of them in terms of kind of reclaiming that guy a little bit, and they've done that to this extent to this point. And I think the key thing is you can't let Roman go out there and get another clean win over this guy. If you want Braun to be bought as a long term viable threat, especially as a viable threat for the next big challenger to Brock Lesnar, he's got to win this match. He's got to go over Roman, and I would argue he's got to go over cleanly.
I got a hot take about this, and I'm going to hold on to it till the other side of the break. I have a hot take about the Braun-Reigns match on April 30th. Great segment, first segment, gentlemen. Let's take a break here on Main Event. When we come back, we'll flip the switch. We'll talk about SmackDown Live and the guys that came from Raw to there, including their United States champion, although that could change at Payback. We'll see. Scott Criscola, Logan Crosland, Greg Phillips, Nick Duke, Jason Greenhouse. More Main Event after this.
Because.
Well done.
promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com, and we now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with Clotheslines and Headlines, Main Event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows. And we leave wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the Our Vantage Point podcast, which features a potpourri-style look at wrestling history, and Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler podcast, Our Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and the Imaginary Stories. You can find all these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All these shows plus others available at PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlayStation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, thehistoryofwrestling.com, and Scott Keith's blog, Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
The Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. Subscribe on iTunes or on Android with your favorite podcast app. Established in 2013, the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network is committed to providing unique takes on the rich and diverse medium of professional wrestling, focusing on its history and global impact, but also exploring the vibrant contemporary scene. The roll call includes Space City, an NWA On Demand podcast, This Week in Wrestling, Stacey and Elliott's Bogus Journey, the Super Apoitas podcast, the Military Industrial Suplex, Strong Style History, Puro Puri, and Psychology is Dead. Also, from the archives, the full catalog of great shows that provided a fresh look at classic wrestling, including Where the Big Boys Play, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, Letters from Kayfabe, Wrestling Culture, Pro Wrestling Super Show, Goodwill Wrestling, and many, many others. Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. Only the best.
And welcome back, Place to Be Nation, to the main event. Scott Criscolo with you here, along with Jason Greenhouse, Logan Crosland, and both hard-traveling fanboys, Greg Phillips, Nick Duke. PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. Glenn Butler with his Wednesday walk around the web today. Dan McGinn with your SmackDown Live recap from last evening. And JR and I, last night, at the Place to Be podcast, or two nights ago, I should say. Oh, no, it was last night, actually. On the Place to Be podcast, episode 445, we did our final WWF MSG house show for 1985 from December 30th, us and Kelly Nelson. Brian Bayless with your 205 Live recap, as well as his Raw rundown. And then JR and I, of course, continuing our walk through Monday Night Raw, our Vintage Vault refresh, October 17th, 1994. Seinfeld rewatch. I feel like that's continued for the last 25 years. It is Season 8, Episode 20, The Millennium. So check that out. Part 4 of Dave Musgrave's In Search of Five-Star Matches. And we also recap our question of the day, which we've been doing consistently now for the last little over a week, and it seems like everybody on PlaceBeNation.com is enjoying it, so please continue to enjoy it. Also, Chris Elner with his most recent episode of Between the Sheets. Chris and David joined by Bruce Mitchell to discuss the week that was April 12th through the 18th, 1989. Pretty busy week and one of the best years in wrestling history. So keep it up here at PlaceBeNation.com. You're home for everything pop culture. Check out Justin's and my ebooks. Also, check out Amazon.com. Go through us, PlaceBeNation.com/Amazon. Buy everything you'd like. And we get a little taste to help run the site. So PlaceBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. All right, let's flip the switch and talk about SmackDown Live, because they all obviously had a swap as well. Mr. Greenhouse, who went to the blue brand from red?
We have your United States champion, Kevin Owens, Charlotte Flair, The New Day, Rusev along with Lana, Sami Zayn, The Shining Stars, who are now the Colognes, Sin Cara, Jinder Mahal, and Tamina.
Okay. Okay. Obviously, the two probably big names there are Kevin Owens and Charlotte. Logan, what do you think of Owens going to SmackDown?
I like it. I think it opens up a whole crop full of feuds that could get him even more over than he already is, and I think it could produce some great matches with Shinsuke and AJ, the one that's coming up at Backlash. I think it'll really benefit him.
Okay. Greg, what do you think?
Yeah, I like it. I think it's hard to avoid in modern WWE that sense of staleness because we see the same guys wrestle every week. And with Kevin Owens, that was kind of the case. We saw him wrestle Sami Zayn a million times. We've seen him wrestle Roman Reigns a million times. So it was nice to finally... It's going to be nice to see him work with AJ Styles, with Shinsuke Nakamura, with... a new roster. Granted, Sammy's still there, so we're going to see them wrestle again, I'm sure. But Baron Corbin, people like that are different matchups for him. It's going to be interesting to watch. I think he's not that he really needed a change of scenery because he's still entertaining, but I think that it's going to help to get fresher matchups and keep him from falling into the same problem that we've had for years in WWE, which is the same matchups over and over and over again. I think you can get a month or two out of him and AJ and come back to it down the line. You can probably get a summer out of him and Nakamura. So, you know, it's a good thing to me.
Right. We got to remember that Nakamura, Ty Dillinger, and of course we have to include the NXT call-ups. The Revival went to Raw, but of course now they're on hiatus because Dash Wilder got hurt. Which sucks because they're, you know, the best tag team in that show now just by showing up. And, of course, Ty Dillinger and Shinsuke Nakamura are on SmackDown Live. What do you think about Nakamura to SmackDown, Nick? Would he have been better on Raw? Is he fine on SmackDown? What do you think?
No, he's far better on SmackDown. To call back to the comparison I used earlier, SmackDown has been presented as the wrestling show to this point. And I think having a guy in Nakamura who hasn't really shown an ability to cut out of this world English language promos yet, I think it makes more sense to have him on SmackDown where he'll be presented as more of just a threat in the ring as opposed to an out of the ring character. And I think that just makes a ton of sense. Plus the matchups are so intriguing there. You got him and Owens, him and AJ, him and Sammy, who we already know they can have a fantastic match based on a Knox NXT debut. So, I mean, there's just a litany of intriguing matchups on SmackDown, and the writing team seems tailor-made for a guy like Nakamura at this point.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, obviously Nakamura AJ is what ultimately everybody wants to see. They obviously wrestled in the past. Most of us didn't see them, but they did wrestle, except for Chad. But most of them did see them. I saw Nakamura. Maybe they wrestled in a building that had more people in it than it's in the new building in Atlanta where the Braves play. There's more people on this show right now than they're going to the Braves games right now. Anybody been in the
typical
building?
Typical New Yorker.
Is this unresolved bitterness of those like 8 years in a row where SI picked the Mets to win the division and they never did?
And who let these
who
fucking
was
guys
it
on?
Debate the Mets their bitch in those days.
Yeah, I mean, Larry, how did that work out for you?
Wow. You do realize this is my fucking show, right?
Yeah, I realize that.
Okay. Why don't you guys do a podcast about Dark Horse or something, and maybe fucking 500 people will listen, okay?
Hey, if we get 500, we've had a pretty freaking good day.
All right, so anyway, I think Nakamura and AJ, I think, is obviously ultimately the combination that people will like to see. But I also think that Owens will add that extra something to SmackDown that it didn't have. Raw always seemed to be the show with the edge, and SmackDown, again, was more of the athletic show that had a character or two, and I think Owens will add a lot of juice to that. Now, the other obviously huge addition is Charlotte. Charlotte is a presence that obviously overwhelmed Raw. And now she almost seems like an even bigger fish in a smaller pond. But, Nick, do you think that's the case, though? Or do you think Charlotte will be able to fit in here okay? Because she was very... I mean, when you had huge presences like Sasha and like Bayley. Now you've got her on SmackDown with, you know, I mean, I love Becky to death, but...
Right. That's a fantastic point, because I think you make a good point in that Bayley and Sasha both had been presented as being on Charlotte's level. And all three of those women, I would argue, more so than any of the women on SmackDown or any of the other women on Raw, have been elevated to such an extent that it's difficult to buy any of the SmackDown girls as being on that level at this point. I like Becky, but they kind of, they brought her over, and once the brand split got going a couple months in, they kind of de-emphasized her in favor of emphasizing Alexa Bliss and Naomi and those types of characters. And I just, at this point, I think Charlotte is so heads and shoulders above anybody else on that SmackDown Women's Division. I think it makes a lot of sense to go ahead, put the title on her right now, have her run through the division, and then when it looks like there's nowhere else to go, that's when you call Asuka up and throw her on SmackDown, and you really have the potential for one of the most intriguing women's matchups of all time.
Absolutely. What do you think, Greeny?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I mean, Charlotte, just her presence, man. She's in a league of her own now. Like this feud with her and Naomi, I thought they both killed it last night, both on the mic and in the ring. And but man, Charlotte, just everything she does, she just stands out. And I think, yeah, she's just gonna be buying her time until they call Asuka up to SmackDown. I mean, hopefully, you know, by SummerSlam, maybe. If not, then I mean, that's a big matchup for next WrestleMania. But you know, I mean, in the meantime, you know, a few with Charlotte and Naomi is gonna be good. Her and Becky will also be good. And don't forget, you also got Lana coming into the women's division. She's been working a lot on NXT house shows, so you know, somebody else that they can throw at Charlotte until we get the big Asuka call-up.
Yeah, we're not sure when the Asuka call-up's going to be. That's what I think I like, is that it's kind of in limbo right now because she's still the champion. It is inevitable that Ember Moon is going to be the women's champion. She'll probably win it at... I know they have that takeover coming up in Chicago, but I don't think that. I think there's going to be a tag there, and I think they're going to save Ember Moon's big win for Brooklyn 3. Let's talk about Ty Dillinger for a minute. There's a guy that always seems like he's kind of lost in the shuffle. He's just like random mid-card guy with terrible haircut. When was the last time anybody shaved lines into the side of their fucking head? Kid and Play? I mean, what the fuck? Who the hell wears that shit anymore?
The guy in front of us at WrestleMania.
Yeah, we had a guy sitting in front of us who had the New Day carved into his head.
That's terrible.
Oh, my God.
What a buffoon. Just like Nick having Andrew Jones' number carved in his head. Or Steve Bartkowski. Yeah, I said Steve Bartkowski.
Fair enough.
Gerald Riggs.
No, Nick's more of a Chris Chandler guy.
Oh, for God's sake.
Right? Chris Chandler took you to Chris Chandler did take you to a Super Bowl.
Chris Chandler went to a godforsaken Super Bowl. That's right.
So did Eugene Robinson till the pickup until he thought he was picking up a hooah and ended up in the fucking clink. So
I've given Dick enough Eugene Robinson references for the year.
I actually had Tim Dwight's number shaved into my head because before this year he was the only Falcon to score a touchdown in the Super Bowl in franchise
Tim
history.
Tim Dwight, I totally forgot about that fucking guy.
Yep,
Tim Dwight. I like
on a punt return against the Broncos. That before this year, that was the only Super Bowl touchdown in franchise history. Ugh.
He was the unofficial fastest white guy in the NFL for a while.
I'm pretty sure he was the official fastest white guy in the NFL for quite
yes. Well, we won't talk about Falcons and Super Bowls. I don't want to totally depress you guys because you had the whole world on your backs. And,
it is what it is at this point.
We all know what happened.
You only depress me because I'm a Dolphins fan, so I had to watch the stupid Patriots win again.
Nobody likes the Dolphins either. Anyway,
That actually is accurate.
That's because they changed their helmets. That's why. I don't know why they changed the helmets. Dumb idea.
Who do we like then? You're just listing off all these teams we hate. Do we like anyone?
No. The Hawks. Okay. Anybody have a Dominique throwback?
He likes the Cowboys.
Love the Cowboys.
You like that? Oh, that's right. Scott's a Cowboys fan.
Worship the star, bitch. Hey, everybody wears Dominique throwbacks. If we all had Dominique throwbacks, awesome. By the way, aren't you down two games
to none? I'll buy into that.
Love Dominique. I could do a whole show on Atlanta sports, but if I have Chad on, it could get really depressing.
Oh, God, why would you want to do that? What are we going to do? Talk about
By the way, on a side note, the only reason you guys think you actually mattered to SI, first off, the only reason the Mets were picked every year is because they hate the fucking Yankees. It had nothing to do with you guys. So why don't you get off your high horse?
I am talking about specifically in the division. Those damn Piazza Mets, it felt like every 7 years in a row, they kept saying, this is the year the Brave streak comes to an end. And you know what? It never did.
Right, because they hated the Yankees. They always wanted a Subway Series so the Mets would win, and then, of course, we didn't hold our end of the bargain.
The Subway Series.
Then again, most of your seasons ended the same way mine did, so it didn't really matter either way.
That's a fair point, but let me just say, the Subway Series finally happened was my equivalent of baseball hell.
Yes,
I just kept waiting for the world
also, thing. Also, we all had to wear umbrellas for the rain and barrage of semen flying from ESPN studios.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it is fucking terrible. I agree with that. ESPN is this. We can all agree that ESPN is the scourge of our existence. So,
yes.
You know what? Why don't we stop because AJ is a Bulldogs fan. So we are kind of staying in the same vein here because he is on SmackDown Live. Do either of you guys miss Turner Field?
Yes.
Miss it in terms of what? I mean,
have you been to this new building yet?
Wait, I have not only been what, four games, yet. Right? It's I'm only like four games going, over, right? Honestly. Okay. But I'm kind of in a complicated place with the Atlanta Braves, and I don't want to, this is a wrestling podcast, so I don't want to get too far off topic, but let me explain to you my issue
in brief with
the Atlanta Braves. I grew up in an era where Greg and I, as Braves fans, were conditioned to expect that the Braves were going to demand excellence, and no other outcome was acceptable. They were going to spend money, they were going to sign free agents, and they were going to be competitors year in and year out. Obviously, it didn't work out in terms of them actually winning championships, but year in and year out, they were going to do what it took to be in the discussion. And now, they are owned by a conglomerate. Not a man, but a conglomerate in Liberty Media that has convinced people somehow that the Atlanta Braves need to run themselves as if they're the fucking Kansas City Royals, as if they're a small market team, and they aren't a small market team. If you look at demographics, Atlanta is a top 10 media market in this country. Mm-hmm. There is no excuse why the Braves should be in the bottom five teams in the league in payroll and should be building the way the Kansas City Royals built. Yes, I understand the Kansas City Royals won a World Series. Whoop-de-freaking-do. That is the exception rather than the rule. And to think that the Braves are going to be able to replicate that success is a load of horseshit, in my opinion. We are being sold a false bill of goods, and the only reason the new stadium exists is because Liberty Media actually owns and operates many of the acres around the stadium and are getting a percentage of every drink, every hamburger, every hotel room that is sold in the immediate area. It's all one big money-making scam. Liberty Media is the new Jeffrey Loria.
You know what sucks about the new building? There's no Big Boss Man statue in front of it. It's in Cobb County, for Christ's sakes. And the theme should be playing in the concourse. Come on. Hard time. I'm telling you, it's pretty big.
Now here's the part where Greg tells you about how he always thought the theme song said he was carrying a fish stick.
That's true. That is true. And I maintain it's a better song if you have that lyric.
Fucking idiots. I love you guys. All right. Speaking of great Georgia sports, let's talk about AJ. And the new shirt with the Bulldog colors.
You all bought it at WrestleMania.
Yeah, we all had one.
Excellent. And now it was $15 earlier in the week. Logan, do you think and we're not ignoring you, Logan. We know you're a fan of the beloved Mississippi State Bulldogs. We're not totally ignoring you. Because my quarterback went to your school, so it's all good. And we did have the greatest Georgia running back of all time for a brief time, and then he gave us 47 draft picks and 3 championships. So Herschel Walker will always be a very important guy in the history of the Cowboys. Logan, what do you think about AJ at the moment? Do you think is he the number one guy in the company? Talent, fan base, is if you ranked all the guys in the company, is AJ number one?
Absolutely. He's having the best matches of anybody. He's always compelling whenever he's on TV. I think he's just on another level than anybody else right now, and he just can't be touched.
Do you think that's why Roman Reigns gets booed so much, Greg? Because he's not AJ? Is that like the comparison? Is this like Diesel and Sean and Brett? Or, you know, that kind of fucking thing? Is it Hogan? Well, I can't use Hogan as an example. Yeah, is it like Diesel and not Brett and Sean? Like that kind of thing? Cena and not Punk or something like that? Like, is that why Roman just gets ridiculously vilified? Almost, well, not almost, definitely unreasonably. Because AJ is in this company? Or you think it's just because people just hate Roman because he shares the same oxygen as the rest of us, which seems to be the only reason, which seems to be the only reason everybody fucking hates him, assholes.
No,
what do you think?
No, I think it's a character thing with him. I really do, because I think that, you know, for a long time I think there was resentment because people wanted Ambrose instead of Reigns. I think people wanted Daniel Bryan instead of Reigns, and now and maybe you could say that with AJ if they were on the same brand, but they're not. You know, Roman's not competing with AJ right now. He's competing with Seth Rollins and, you know, whoever else is on Raw, Finn Balor or whatever. And I don't think that there's a guy on Raw that and just to what Logan's point was, there's nobody in the company right now that can touch AJ in the ring beyond anybody else. On the mic, he can keep up with anybody. His character is compelling and consistent, which is a big deal. He's got cool gear, cool merchandise, cool entrance music. He just stands out from the pack. But with Roman, I think it's more of a character deal with him. I think his character has been so corny for so long that it's hard, because every time it feels like they're redeeming his character and making him that quiet badass again, then he's out cutting a 15-minute promo on Raw and, you know, telling jokes, which he's not good at, and doing things that are not Roman Reigns. And so, yeah, I think consistency with AJ has been there from the get-go. As soon as he landed on SmackDown Live, he's been the guy that stole John Cena's catchphrase, the face that runs the place. He's been that guy that believes himself to be the best in the world and goes out and proves it every single night, whether he wins or he loses. And I think the fans respect that and they react to that. And it reminds me a lot of Daniel Bryan, a guy that went out there and was just so excellent that he could not be denied. And AJ, quite frankly, right now is operating even above the level that Daniel was when he first got over. And so it's an incredible thing to watch each and every week. And I think that we as wrestling fans are blessed to have a performer like AJ at this time that stands out from the pack, but I don't think it's having anything to do with Reigns' reactions. I think that goes on the Raw creative team more than anybody else. Hmm.
Just got a buzz here. Talk about ridiculous sports things. Russell Westbrook had 51 points tonight, and the Thunder lose. You can believe that.
Please do not get Greg started on the Russell Westbrook thing. He and Jordan Duncan will be bitching at each other on the show before you know it.
Anyway, James Harden at 35. They lose one. The Rockets win 115-111. Nick, my hot take that I teased at the end of the first segment. I don't think I don't think the Reigns-Strowman match is going to happen. I don't think he's going to show up. I think they're going to brawl. I think Strowman's going to knock Reigns out, and I think the match doesn't happen.
Okay.
I think it's going to be kind of like that what was it? That Ambrose Rollins feud right after the breakup in 14.
Right, I remember. Yeah, I got you.
I think it's gonna be something like that because I can't see Roman eating a pin because Vince just won't allow it, and Braun's not gonna lose.
Regardless of what the outcome is, whether it's an actual match or not, I think the point is that Braun has got to get the dominant physical advantage.
Right.
At this point, if we're all under the assumption that we're building to Braun and Brock, you can't have Braun taking L's from Roman. You just can't. You got to make it believable. I don't think that anybody really ultimately believes that they're going to take the title off of Brock and put it on Braun at this point, but you've got to do everything within your power to help foster that belief, to help the audience suspend their disbelief. And I just have a hard time seeing how there's any value whatsoever in having Roman Reigns overcome the odds once again.
I agree. And I think Payback's pretty loaded. I mean, I'm looking at the card right now. There's seven matches.
It's almost like an extra cross-brand pay-per-view with the Randy Orton involvement and stuff. It's really weird.
Yeah, it is. And that is officially not a title match. It is just a House of Horrors match. There is no belt on the line there. And the weird crossover thing we were mentioning earlier is that Chris Jericho did enact his rematch clause, kicking old school. So he'll face Kevin Owens at Payback for the U.S. title. And the winner of that match will go to SmackDown because the U.S. title. So it's almost like the belt got transferred and the guy just happens to be connected to it. So as the two secondary belts swapped sides.
So if Owens loses, does he go back to Raw? Is that what that means?
Yes.
That's what they're playing up on air. But, I mean,
it's not
going to
happen.
All...
I mean, he's not going to lose. So, but, I mean.
That's the whole point. Yeah, that's the whole point.
Okay.
That Jericho.
Plus, aren't we all under the assumption that Jericho is leaving relatively soon?
Yeah, right. Isn't it Fozzy time soon?
Yeah, it's Fozzy time.
Is he off to play some field in Wales or something? Or is there some Monsters of Rock coming up or something?
Scott, so. I will warn you against saying anything that could be perceived as negative towards Chris Jericho when Greg is on the air. He might have a connection of some sort.
I love Chris Jericho. He's one of my favorite guys of all time. The band sucks. There's nothing about his wrestling ability.
I'm not in the business of defending Fozzy. I'm in the business of defending Jericho.
No, nothing. Jericho's been awesome.
I was proven right, Nick. He went to Raw and he became the best thing on Raw for a year.
Yep.
Now he's going away.
I also, however, think that he was too good for Kevin Owens. I think he did hurt Owens, not intentionally, but he got over so much that I think Owens kind of got lost in the shuffle during his Universal title reign. But I'm not blaming
Jericho.
Do you think
that they held off on the turn too long?
Maybe. What do you think, Greeny, on that?
No, I don't think they did because, I mean, you can tell way back at SummerSlam when they teamed up against Enzo and Cass that, like, they were going to, you know, this whole BFF thing that eventually, I mean, come on, it's pro wrestling. When you have, you know, two best friends, they're going to end up turning on each other. It's going to happen. So, I mean, you have to save it for WrestleMania. It's just, you know, maybe they should have started it later and, you know, but ending it right before WrestleMania was the perfect time. And to go back to the Kevin Owens thing for a second, with him going to SmackDown, I mean, already it's an improvement because they have the, you know, they kind of repackaged him already. He's the what is he, the face of America is the new thing with him, you know, which is great. And yeah, I mean, and he's by himself, and it's not his fault, and it's not Jericho's fault, but I mean, having Jericho with him on Raw didn't help any. And now, you know, repackaging him a little bit, you know, people are gonna, you know, he's wearing the suits and everything, kind of like, you know, corporate KO, I guess, a little bit. Yeah, you know, let him do things on his own without Jericho taking the spotlight from him.
Yeah, and I thought that, I mean, the Rollins feud was good. The matches were okay. But obviously, the split did. I mean, the only thing the timing of their breakup did was at least to kind of cushion the blow of Goldberg beating him at Fastlane. Because he was doing some awesome Memphis stalling tactics. He was kicking it savage old school in that aspect. But it did help kind of cushion the blow that, that Goldberg was about to eat a or win a, you know, 20-second match or a 90-second match, whatever it was. Now, let's talk about Randy Orton, your WWE champion, who I kind of like in this role. I think it's good to have an experienced champion to kind of stabilize that roster and kind of have a guy at the top that's solid as a champion while the rest of the roster kind of works itself out. Logan, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I definitely think from an experience point of view, he's good to be at the top right now, especially with a bunch of new guys coming in and needing to establish themselves on SmackDown. I think he's a good fit right now.
Yeah. Greg, what do you think?
I have to disagree with you. I'm a huge Randy Orton fan. Don't get me wrong. I've been an Orton fan for longer than most people. I started when he was in Evolution as the IC champ, and I've never turned on him. As far as I've always thought he's been a good worker, always thought he's been underrated by the IWC for various reasons. But I think right now, I honestly don't remember him being any colder than this. I think the Bray Wyatt feud did him no favors for either guy, actually. But I think that it, whatever heat he had coming back last summer dissipated until he tagged with Wyatt. And I think they had something special there while they were tagging together that was unexpected. And they probably should have just kept them together and rode that out. When they split them, the crowd has not taken to Randy the way that they did before the Wyatt storyline, and he just feels cold. I think, as we've talked about earlier, the guy right now is AJ Styles. I think the audience recognizes that. I think it's clear when you watch the product, even who's positioned in the main events, who they trust to go out and have a great match right now is AJ Styles. I think he should be the champion. He should be the face of the brand. Although, yes, it's obvious they're building to Randy and AJ at some point during the summer. But I think that right now, AJ is the guy I would want the title on. And Randy's solid. He's going to give you a good match. He's going to give you what you've got with Randy Orton for 10 years. But I just think that right now, he's so cold that it almost makes that title seem not as important. Just my take.
I think that's like the kind of idea that they're going with on SmackDown as a show in general, is that the heavyweight title right now is the mid-card belt, and the U.S. title guys are going to be main eventing. I mean, Owens and Styles and all those guys. And then you got all the supposed mid-card guys going after Orton, you know, Corbin and Sammy and Jinder and all those guys. So Orton's just like he's their champion, but he's the world title isn't at the top of the card, as it usually is.
Yeah, it's kind of like when Benoit was the world champion
exactly,
on Raw.
Exactly. You know.
Yep.
And people are you know always, as wrestling fans, we always want something different. We want something new, and that's what SmackDown is bringing right now, is something brand new, where you still have the same guys on top, but they're going after a lesser belt.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a bad thing, because, I mean, the world title's the world title. It's still the world title. And I think the Jinder Mahal flack is real horseshit, considering that everybody's that's bitching about it is probably going to keep watching, so WWE doesn't care whether you like it or not. from a business perspective, it makes sense, because they are expanding in India, and that's why the Bollywood guys debuted this past week. And I'm okay with it. It's fine. You gotta throw shit on the wall once in a while and see what sticks. I don't think there's a problem with that. Now, would they do it with the percentage of them doing it on SmackDown higher than on Raw? Yes. They'll throw shit at the wall on SmackDown much, much more often than they would throwing it on Raw. Raw, they would never experiment. Now, the other issue is, yes, Randy Orton is WWE champion, and yes, it's kind of on the second tier level at the moment, but at least he's there. Because obviously, we're not going to see your Universal Champion till probably late June. Money in the Bank in June is the Raw pay-per-view. So that is the rumored next time we will see Brock Lesnar defend the Universal title. He's obviously has a rematch with, well, he won't have a rematch with Goldberg, because I don't think we'll see Goldberg for a while, if at all. Obviously, Paul Heyman kind of called out Braun, Roman, and then Braun came out, wanted to break off his own piece of the beast. Do you think, I'll start with you, Greg, do you think somebody like Paul Heyman could join or could help Braun? Or do you think Braun is just so unpredictable that he's fine on his own? Like, I don't think Paul would turn on Brock or anything like that. I think that's stupid. But is Paul a guy that could help Brock, Braun? Or do you think Braun is perfectly fine just being, you know, grunting and flipping shit over?
I really think Braun is fine the way he is. I think that Braun strikes me, and I never thought I'd say this, because a year ago the guy was unwatchable. He was just so bad, and he's improved so much, and he's got such a different presence to him. He kind of reminds me of what WCW was trying to go for with Sid in the late 90s, where he'll just show up and wreck shit, and you don't know when he'll show up and who he'll wreck, but he's going to show up and cause problems. And I kind of like that. I like that it makes him different. It makes Brock different to have Paul. Although, I mean, it's pretty original on my part to come up with this, but if Paul were to turn on Brock and maybe side with the Big Show, and then when the Big Show loses to Brock inevitably, then joins up with Kurt Angle and forms an alliance around Kurt Angle, I think that could really pay off, possibly at Safeco Field.
What? Oh, jeez.
It could happen.
I would love to see WrestleMania go back to Safeco, because I thought 19 was one of the nicest looking WrestleManias. I thought that building was sweet. I thought the colors were cool, and the kind of wonky swerved ramp was cool. I agree with that. Nick, is it a mistake that Brock is Universal Champion right now?
Absolutely not. No, I thought they did a pretty good job last time when Brock was champ of booking the show without having your champion around all the time. I think it's an interesting way to book a wrestling show. I think over the last 15 to 20 years, we've fallen into that rut of kind of having the same old methodology and layout to a show just being done over and over again in a rinse and repeat type of fashion. Brock reminds me a lot, in this day and age, of the way the old NWA champion was, where he may or may not appear on certain shows. And I think it just makes the title feel that much more important when it is defended, and makes the champion feel that much more important when he does appear. So no, it's not a mistake at all. I think what would be a mistake is to hotshot that title onto someone else, thus lessening the impact of Brock dropping it. You know, honestly, I don't really think Roman needs to be the guy to beat Brock, because I think we all know.
I agree.
That the company has elevated Roman to this point where Roman is made. Whether you like him or you don't, Roman's a made guy. I think there's more potential in having Brock take that first clean loss, outside of Goldberg, of course, but take that first clean loss and drop that title to someone like, I don't know, off the top of my head, maybe Finn Balor? Like, a guy that can truly benefit from the rub, rather than someone like Roman Reigns, who it just comes off as another example of his coronation, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the problem, and we've discussed this on here on the show before, is I definitely think that Roman feels like he's being... we talked about Dean, but at least Dean looks... Roman's the only one who has not left the Shield. Even Seth looks different. Dean looks different. Roman looks like Roman from 2012. And I don't know why they're so scared to change him up. Like they never did with Cena. He still wore jorts. You know, maybe the sneakers changed, but he still wore jorts. But I think changing Roman's gear and making him just look different and evolve him into something, he still seems like that big dude in the six-man tag team. And I think that's ultimately the problem. And maybe that's what needs to be done for him to change things up. And I think this Braun beatdown that may or may not happen a week from Sunday at Payback might be the catalyst to lead to that. Because you got a lot of guys on Raw right now that can pick up the slack. You got babyface Seth, who seems to be over now because he won a match at WrestleMania that most people thought he wasn't going to. And you've got Finn Balor, where everyone thinks a heel turn seems to be in the offing sometime in the next 6 months, and maybe it will, and we can document that here as we go forward. We could go talk about Payback. I don't know if we need to do a preview because I think the guys on Clotheslines and Headlines will talk about it next week, and I think there might be some matches added. At the moment, we have Kevin Owens against Chris Jericho for the U.S. title, and again, the weird stip, the winner will go to SmackDown, so it's obviously going to be Owens. Hardys will defend the tag titles against Cesaro and Sheamus. Anybody think they're going to lose?
No.
They'll probably keep them.
Not yet.
I think there's an outside chance. I think there's an outside chance because of that report floating around that some sort of settlement as it relates to the broken gimmick is close. I think that's been a rumor that's out there pretty soon, and I think to kick off the introduction of the broken gimmick into WWE, it's gonna have to be preceded by some sort of loss or some sort of trauma for the Hardy characters. So I think there's an outside possibility, but I'm not expecting it by any stretch of the imagination.
Perhaps a brogue kick causing Matt to become broken.
Brogan.
Yeah.
Brogan Matt Hardy.
Yes. But I don't think. I'm looking forward to it, but I also don't think that WWE will do Senor Benjamin any justice with a cool T-shirt like Pro Wrestling Tees did. So, you know, or even TNA for that. I don't know if TNA did a Senor Benjamin shirt. I know Pro Wrestling Tees did a Senor Benjamin shirt. That was kind of cool.
Maybe they'll bring in Shelton Benjamin to be Senor Benjamin.
I wish. How fucking sweet would that be?
And have him speak Spanish the whole time?
Oh, yeah.
Or I speak English with Spanish subtitles.
Mr. Hardy,
yes. Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt in a House of Horrors match, which nobody fucking knows yet. No title on the line there, by the way. Neville will defend the Cruiserweight title against Austin Aries. I think Austin wins it here. Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, and my hot take is I don't think the match is going to happen. I think we're going to have a brawl, and I don't think it's going to happen. We have Seth against Samoa Joe, which I think a bell-to-bell match will be exceptional. And Bayley is defends against Alexa Bliss. Do we think Alexa just comes in, takes the belt, and runs the show, or does Bayley hold on? What do you think, Logan?
Bayley. Yeah.
I think Bayley will keep it for a little bit longer.
Okay. Was that you, Greg?
Yeah. I think it's not the right time. To take it off for yet.
Okay. Nick?
Yeah, Bayley's got to keep it over Alexa, probably retain over Nia, and then you finally do the Sasha heel turn in the summer at some point.
Okay. You think Bayley keeps it, Greeny?
Oh, yeah, and Alexa doesn't need the belt right now. She's so hot on her own right now, both, you know, in the ring and physically.
Oh, you fucking creepers. All right. Guys, it's been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed it immensely. Greeny, pleasure as always. Always by my side here. Logan, it's good to talk to you, sir. Always good to have you on. We'll have you back on again soon. We got to do some more great writing and get ourselves pumped up for the college football season. I don't want to wish the summer away, but I know a lot of spring games are going on right now.
Yep.
Sean and Marty, when is the next episode of the Hard Traveling Fanboys, and what will you be talking about?
God, well, you know, it's difficult to say because, after all, Scott, we are the longest
reigning weekly episodic comic book podcast in all of Place to Be Nation.
So hard to say. Depends on when our taskmaster Todd Weber can get the next one loaded up. We recorded last night, so you know, Thursday, Friday of this week, I'd imagine.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about Batman Forever, the somewhat unique 1995 Batman film, and you know, we've got a litany of other things coming your way, including for the first time ever, the hard-traveling fanboys will talk about the hard-traveling heroes, as we're going to look at the 1970s Green Lantern, Green Arrow collection of stories by Denny O'Neil and Neil Adams.
Good stuff. I remember reading a little bit of that when I was a kid. It was good stuff. And, of course, we're coming down the home stretch of the CW Quartet. Well, Legends ended. Who thought... Do you guys watch all the shows?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I thought Legends was fucking great this year.
Oh, Legends. Legends, especially in the back half of the season after the midseason finale, was
awesome.
One of the best, like, seven-episode stretches the CW has ever done.
Like, I agree 100%.
Legends hit its stride, figured out what it could be that the other shows couldn't, and just hit this whole other level, man. It was outstanding.
Mm. Yeah. The finale was spectacular.
The finale was spectacular. I agree.
I think Legends and Arrow have kind of set the bar this season.
You know, as great as the finale was, I actually thought the episode that immediately preceded it, Doomworld, was just so cool.
Oh, it was fucking great. Because you needed to see that. Like, you needed to see that.
Yeah, it was just so interesting. Like, they've never really done that type of episode before in any of the CW shows, and so I loved that. You know, it was outstanding. Yeah, I mean, I really, we don't have enough good things to say about Legends. Bringing in this year the like real life cameos from characters like George Lucas and J.R.R. Tolkien and that kind of stuff, kind of embracing the things that only Legends of Tomorrow can do and get away with, kind of bringing a little bit of Doctor Who to the CW universe.
Oh my god, that's fantastic.
It's been a great run.
Yeah, that's a fantastic comparison. I love that.
Noted Doctor Who fan, Nick Duke.
Well, I am as well.
I don't know first fucking thing about Doctor Who.
I love Doctor Who. In fact, I signed up for, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but the new British streaming service, BritBox, is pretty cool. It's got a lot of British shows.
We've got a friend that may be into that. Andrew Chandler, Fraser Garner, if you're listening out there, pay attention to BritBox.
BritBox, because that's where all the classic Doctor Who, like old school, those first seven Doctors.
While I'm on your show, Scott.
Yes.
I know where I'm going to be on September 9th of this year. Do you know where you're going to be?
September 9th. Jesus, I don't know where I'm going to be tomorrow. September 9th. September 9th, 2017. Where will I be September 9th? 2017.
Would you like me to tell you where I'm going to be?
Where you're going to be is probably, hopefully, somewhere I'm going to be, because I'd still like to hang out with you. So
I'm going to be in South Bend, Indiana.
Ah! Oh, yes! Irish dogs, baby!
Taking in what will assuredly be a glorious victory for my Georgia Bulldogs over your Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
You know, you're probably right, because Notre Dame fucking blows right now.
We're a mediocre SEC team at this point.
That could be a dreadfully boring
start right home just yet.
It's going to be a dreadfully
boring.
But
prime time, which is kind of cool that early in the season. Pretty rare for Notre Dame to go 7:30 kickoff that early in the season on NBC. I'm kind of pumped for it.
I am too. But they got some issues.
Scott, are they going to be wearing their normal traditional uniforms, or are they going to be wearing some weird green uniforms?
No, they'll wear the regular. It's not the Shamrock series. They're playing
I was about to say, only traditionally bust out the weird uniforms for the neutral site games as part of the Shamrock series.
Yeah, they'll wear the weird stuff. And then they wear green usually when they play USC. So, no, right. They'll wear normal blue and gold for Georgia. I have to say that I've loved all four shows, even Supergirl. And at first, I didn't think Supergirl was going to fit. I know they wanted to have Supergirl so they could go across the canon and all that kind of stuff and have the cool crossovers. But Supergirl went through a stretch where I was kind of scratching my head. But I think they'll be okay for the stretch run.
I think one of the only issues with Supergirl is because we've seen it with a higher budget on CBS and we have a point of comparison, it makes some of the CW budgeted special effects look pretty poor by comparison. You know,
true.
Like Flash, we've never known what it could look like with a higher budget. Supergirl, we've had that point of reference, and there have been some moments this season where the CGI has been just downright brutal, especially any time they choose to bizarrely slow the show down into slow motion during their action sequences. It's a weird weird technique they've been utilizing. But I would agree that from a narrative standpoint, from a plotting standpoint, and largely from an acting standpoint, it's been an improvement over season one.
Yeah, it's picked up steam in the second half. I think the first half of the season for Supergirl particular – well, not actually – I take that back. It's actually the beginning of the post-midseason stretch was really rough for Supergirl. I think Nick and I both had about three episodes in a row that we really didn't like. And then it really started hitting stride once they started focusing back in on what is interesting about the show, which is Kara and her relationship with Mon-El and the Cadmus story arc.
I fucking hate Mon-El.
You hate Mon-El?
I fucking hate that.
Are you not a James Olsen guy, are you?
No, I'm not a James Olsen fan either.
Okay.
No, I can't stand any of the guys on the show other than John.
Wynn's not bad.
Yeah, I like Wynn. Yeah, but like Mon-El's a putz. I can't stand
I love him. Mon-El. I think Mon-El has
I like the parents. Conan and Lois.
Lois, the best Lois.
I mean, not Conan. Hercules. Not Conan. Hercules and Lois.
Conan, yeah. Don't you besmirch Arnold like that? Come on.
I know. Could you imagine? You're coming back to Daxum. That'd be awesome.
Oh my god! Now amazing. I want it to exist.
The Daxumites, do it now.
Do it now. The Dax.
Get to the chopper.
Hey, Greg. While we're talking about
Logan, you still there? Sorry.
Yeah. Greg, while we're talking about the old comic book project, should we make our announcement about what we got coming up later this summer?
Absolutely.
Do it. Exclusive here on Main Event as we're wrapping stuff up. Go ahead, guys.
We are going to introduce the world to Place to Be Nation Theater coming later this
comic
summer.
Comic book theater, to be specific.
That's right. We are going to be doing a reenactment of the classic story Watchmen. You may think you've seen or heard Watchmen adapted before, but you've never read or seen or watched Watchmen like this. We're going to have luminary guest stars appear on the show to play different roles in this cast. We're going to have the entire PTB and pop crew playing voice roles in this production. And I think that people are going to find certain characters very interesting and, shall I say, unique.
Greg, why don't you give them a little taste of what we got in store for Rorschach in particular?
All of you people will look up. And you'll shout, "Save us, JR," quite frankly. And I'll look down and I'll say, hell, I'll whisper it. And I'll say, "Mom, stupid son of a bitch."
Summer Stock Theater, it's what I love. No. I'm looking forward to this, guys. This is I'm kind of pumped. Big announcement from the hard traveling fanboys here on Main Event, guys.
Huge.
Thank you. That's gonna be awesome.
Huge.
We'll keep documenting that. Check their shows out over on the Pop feed. So that was awesome, guys. Great show. For Logan Crosland, Greg Phillips, Nick Duke, Jason Greenhouse, I'm Scott Criscolo. You've been in the Main Event. In 2 weeks, we will talk about the fallback from Payback and look ahead to Backlash. Have a good 2 weeks.